Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's time for the Wintrust Business Lunch, the Thursday edition. Thanks very much for tuning in. I appreciate that. Hope you'll follow me. Well, I got to work on I'll talk to Ian Schur about this. I have to work on my Facebook presence because I have a private page and I've hit my limit on friends, so I have to adapt that. But I hope you'll follow me on Facebook or on Twitter at Steve Bertrand. A little bit later in the program, Elise Glink will be here, and she usually talks about marketing. Today she's going to talk about her new marketing initiative, a new business. It's called Best Money Moves. Can't wait for that. But let's start by saying good afternoon to Ian Schur from CNET. Ian, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I want more friends on Facebook, but they limit me to 5,000, right?
You know, some people you just can't have enough friends.
Well,
right?
You know, so... look, it's not like I have 5,000 friends. It's people who listen, and it's how we
communicate. No, I know you're a popular guy, though. I get it.
Right, blah, blah, blah. But so you can't do that, right? Now I have to make a public page or something like that.
Right. So the logic behind it is that as much as you'd like to believe you have 5,000 friends, you really don't.
No.
And so sorry to break it to all your friends.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is that's why part of the reason they created these public pages was that they realized businesses like Apple and Coca-Cola couldn't hit like 5,000 friends. They have millions of people who want to connect with them. So they created those pages for that reason.
But doesn't it make it then more complicated for me to communicate or for people to communicate with me if it's a public page?
It's a little tougher for you, definitely. You know, I have run across many different journalists who handle this different ways. So there's some who only have a public page. Like I have a buddy of mine who's a Pulitzer Prize winner who just has a public page, and the private one they barely touch. And then other people rely on their private pages, but they tend to be not as popular as you, Steve. And
yeah.
So as a result,
sorry,
you know, but
it up.
A lot of people. Yeah, well, and so a lot of the people who kind of become the more popular journalists tend to move over toward a public page over time because it's easier for you to connect with a lot of people that way versus dealing with, you know, interspersing work with the family photos and
right.
whatnot.
Okay, enough about me, but I am interested in that. I think, you know, it's... but Facebook was on my mind because one of the things I read in CNET recently is about Facebook and ad blocking. Now, there are more and more people who are using this ad blocking software that, you know, it avoids the pop-ups and other ads and things like that, makes it more pleasant for surfing the web. But those things aren't free, the websites, and they're paid for by advertisements. So the web providers are trying to strike some sort of balance, and Facebook is weighing in on it now, right? What are they doing?
Yeah, so more than half a billion people are using ad blockers. Let's just start there. And what an ad blocker is, as you described, is it's the software you install on your computer that basically stops ads from getting to your screen. And it seems like a great idea until you realize that people like CNET, for example, rely on advertising to pay for my paycheck. And I wouldn't have a job if it weren't for advertising. So it's a really rough balance that the industry has tried to follow with between having advertisers be able to put stuff on the site and having people not feel frustrated by all these ads that keep popping up. And as advertisement technology has gotten better, they can follow you around. I'm sure you've had this moment where you looked at something on Amazon or Zappos,
yeah.
And then suddenly you're on Facebook and you're like, why is that thing being advertised to me? The exact same thing I looked at. And that's where this technology has gone. So now Facebook says, okay, this advertising thing, we have to do this, right? Facebook may be one of the largest companies in the world, but part of the reason they are is because of advertising.
Sure.
And they said, look, we can't make money without showing you ads. That's the agreement we set. We don't want to charge you a subscription, and you want to be able to use our service. So advertising is the way it's paid for. And so they are going to basically try to halt all the ad blockers by, of course, using their technology and basically making it harder for people to circumvent the way that the system's built.
And I know CNET is one of those companies that asks people to disable their ad block. I run into that more often than not, too.
Yeah, we were one of the first people actually to do it. And Wired and Forbes and even the New York Times now actually puts up a thing saying, hey, can you please buy a subscription instead? Like, so there are different people handling this different ways. You know, it's interesting. There's a robust discussion discussion about this going on now, partially because people, I think part of it is that they don't understand the economics of the news industry, which is a tough industry, and as we all know, is not exactly flush with cash.
No, but I think, I don't know about that, Ian. I think everyone, if you stop and think about it, it doesn't have to be the news industry. It's any website. If you think of it, you know, they not only are they in it to make money, which is a business, that's great, they need to make money to pay people to provide the content. It's only fair.
Yeah.
It's only fair that there's something on the other end of the equation, and that's us. We have to go through the ads one way or another, whether we like it or not. It should be part of the deal.
Well, and I'm not debating that with you.
Well,
it's interesting to hear other people's arguments, right? Which are, you know, some people believe that you have to earn the right to show you an ad, which is, it gets tough, right? And there are, I've run across a lot of people, even when I worked for the Wall Street Journal and I would talk to people, like they would say, well, why would I buy a subscription when I can go to CNN.com and get it for free? And so there's a lot of issue around the value of the work we all do, right? Which is now becoming a media conversation, but it's a fascinating issue and Facebook has really kind of brought that to the fore now by basically leading the way and saying, look, we're going to actually push this cat and mouse game against these ad blockers and try to fight them at their own game.
They also say, though, that they're going to try to make it a little easier to control the ads for users. What's that about?
Yeah, so one of the things that Facebook's theory and the way that they built their service was that they said, okay, we're going to make it so that you can basically try to tell advertisers what you want to see. So, for example, I tell Facebook that I'm a nerdy guy who lives in San Francisco who likes Star Trek. And so what can happen is that, you know, when CBS has their new copy of Star Trek come out later this year next year, their new TV show, they can send ads to people in San Francisco who like Star Trek, and I'll see it. And they don't have to worry about blanketing Facebook entirely and trying to go after people who don't care at all about sci-fi. What Facebook's trying to do is they're trying to make that system better. And this week they kind of rolled out these things that if you go on, we have an explanation on CNET, you can actually tell them, okay, this type of ad I want to see, this type of ad I don't, and try to help advertisers at least show you something that feels beneficial to you and maybe make it worthwhile.
Yeah, I knew the San Francisco, I knew the nerd part, didn't know about Star Tech till today. So we had a chance to talk. You know, we're out of time, but the other thing, so check it out at CNET. And the other story that we didn't get a chance to talk about are these baby monitors when it comes to health and SIDS. There's a great piece on CNET this week there, so I would encourage people to check that out. Ian, sure, nice to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
12:22, it's the Wintrust Business Lunch, Thursday afternoon. Steve Bertrand here. Thanks very much for being there. I'm glad you're listening. The Dow Jones Industrial Average this afternoon up 129 points, so there's nothing you need to worry about when it comes to retirement. Bill Geiger of Geiger Wealth Management, Chicago's retirement planning advisor. Right, Bill?
That's right.
No, I mean, so things look good today. I mean, there's been quite a rebound since the Brexit low.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Great Britain's stock market is an all-time high right now.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
It is today.
So what are we worried about?
Well, here's the deal.
I use the word worried, and that's the wrong word, isn't it?
Well, no. It is a good word. If you're 5 years out from retirement or so, you love, just like anybody else, new highs. But if you have a big loss between now and then, between now and the time you retire, it's going to change your entire retirement. And that's part of retirement planning, is you want to dial down your risk and you want to start creating income, sustainable income.
You're doing that as you get closer to retirement.
Yeah, absolutely.
5 years out, 10 years out?
5 to 10 years out, because it takes a little time for these things to really work. You know, we were talking before we went on the air about the concept of stress testing your portfolio, and you got a kick out of it.
Right, I've been through a few stress tests recently.
Yeah, you know what a stress test is for your heart, of course. As part of our retirement planning process, we take folks' current portfolios and we run them through some third-party software like Morningstar.
Mm-hmm.
And Morningstar Institutional will take your portfolio.
Do you hook up the pulse rate to the customer?
Pretty close. And Morningstar asks the question, with what you own right now, the next time we go through a 2008, what's going to happen to your portfolio? And I mentioned to you, I was sitting down with a gentleman the other day who Morningstar says he's going to lose 50% of his portfolio the next 2008.
If we hit it again,
Well, it's not if.
We will hit something
It's
again.
When. And we don't know when that's going to be.
So,
but if you're getting close to retirement, you got to start dialing your risks down.
So I would imagine you don't do it all at once, right? You sort of plan a transition?
Yes, you do.
How do you do that? What's involved?
Well, you
in
plan a transition, and the first thing you need to look at, if you're 5 years or so out from retirement, is just how much risk do I have in my portfolio? And work on a strategy for reducing that. Part of that strategy is the creation of sustainable income. This is something people are not thinking about today. When you retire, the biggest thing on your plate is going to be, how do I pay my bills every month from now until forever? And that's called sustainable income. And most folks, most portfolios we've seen, there's really no plan for accomplishing that.
So we look at what we need. There's going to be some Social Security.
It's going to be Social Security, which is not enough.
Lucky people will still have some form of a pension.
Lucky people, and they're getting fewer every day.
And then, but so what you're talking about are annuities or other vehicles that will come with a payout every month.
Well, there's a lot of different tools that you can use, but the thing that you want to strive for is the sustainability of the income. Here, you know, a lot of people have in the back of their
head. When we say sustainability, so that means that you're going to, you know, you're going to get a check every month.
And it's going to be there forever. What a lot of people are kind of in the back of their head, their strategy is, I want to make my portfolio as big as I can.
Right.
And then I'm going to pick at it while I'm retired.
Right.
And that's not an effective, real strategy that you can depend upon for the rest of your life. It may not work.
What interests me in this is the psychological part of it, because psychologically it might be tough to take some of that out of your portfolio when you're 5 to 10 years out. Okay. But the benefit of knowing that for the rest of your life, you've got a check coming, that's a big weight off your shoulders, I would think, at retirement time.
It is huge. When you retire, that is the number one thing on your plate.
Right.
You just said that. And if you can prepare for that ahead of time, where you know that you're going to be getting a steady, dependable income that you can count on for the rest of your life, that's nirvana. And Steve, I know you're going to talk about this in just a moment. We're going to do something special for the people listening today. I'm going to sit down with the next five callers personally and help them put together a plan for their retirement and their retirement income.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Nice to see you again.
My pleasure.
Bill's talking about this. If you're nearing retirement, it could be confusing time for you. It is for most of us. And if you're wondering how the election, global events, the current economic situation might affect your retirement, you're not alone. Bill Geiger of Geiger Wealth Management understands and has a tremendous opportunity for you today. As he said, he's going to sit down with you personally to do a full-blown retirement analysis, complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for their retirement. Get a pen. I'm going to give you the number here in just a second. No, I'm going to give it to you right now. Call 800-681-2498, and Bill can translate the complex retirement progress into easy-to-understand steps, including a retirement income plan. Call Geiger Wealth Management right now. It's 800-681-2498, 800-681-2498. Okay, here we go. One more time, 800-681-2498. All right, thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Elise Glink is in the studio as well. Okay, we just have to do this,
right? We have to do it, absolutely.
For the past 5 minutes, we've had about five young people outside the window. We've got Micah, Gianna, Claudia as well, and they have been relentless. What are you guys up to?
Nothing.
Just watching the Business Lunch, right?
Yeah.
Is it your favorite radio program? That's great. Well, when you get to drive, you can listen in your car, but that's still a few years away.
Yeah, I think so. But it's good to have fans of all ages.
They're just so much fun to watch.
Gen
You're having
Z.
A great time. Yeah. Okay, so you've got a little stuff going on, don't you?
I do. So a few weeks ago, I was on the show, and I started talking about people's best money moves. And I got some people saying, what is that, including you?
Right.
And it's a new company that I've launched. It actually goes live this week. There's a website up, bestmoneymoves.com. But what it is answering a problem that HR execs have and companies have all across the country. And the problem is that 63% of Americans are broke.
Yeah, well, that's a problem I can understand.
Right. Not even $500 in savings. And so when you think about the cost to business, businesses are like, this is not my problem, right? Because this is my employee's problem. I pay them what I can pay them, and they've got to make it work. But when you don't grow up understanding how money works, and you really don't understand how to save, how to spend, stuff that's intuitive maybe for people like you or me, like I've been writing about it all these years.
Well, you know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but there also are a lot of us who think we understand.
Right.
And don't really understand.
Right. And there are a lot of ramifications to things like, you know, taxes, but beyond taxes, other kinds of expenses when you get deductions for certain things at your job or, oh, there's that FICA thing. And also our spending side may not be get out of balance. And then life happens, right? Medical expenses happen or divorce happens or somebody dies or somebody loses a job. And we've just gone through 8 or 9 horrific years, horrific, of the Great Recession
sure.
and the aftermath. So Americans are suffering. They don't have a lot left. And one of the things that I realized as I was going around the country doing the work that I do anyway, helping people with their money, is that the cost to an employer is roughly $10,000 to $15,000 per employee when it comes to financial stress and lost productivity, retention issues, and just simply healthcare
but,
costs.
So you're not... So healthcare costs?
Or, also.
So in addition to what they would legally be putting out per employee, they're losing more too.
Well, there's just the cost of people getting sick. They miss extra days of work right. unexpectedly, and so you have to scramble or hire extra staff to cover. They are, you know, when you're stressed, you get sick. And when you're stressed about money, the employers we've talked to all over the country say people are getting really sick. But more than that, they can't focus at all on what's going on at their job.
So as I understand this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm, you know, Bill Geiger was just in. We're talking about the psychological impact benefit of knowing you have income coming in mm-hmm. upon retirement. There's a psychological benefit of understanding and finding a place where you can go and help you understand your situation and these sorts of challenges, right? And that's what Best Money Moves will do.
It is. So what it is, it's in an, think about it as an app that your employer provides to its employees, to you, and it helps you measure your level of financial stress in 14 categories, because financial stress is not just one big ball, right? There's a lot of reasons right. that kind of pile on each other. So we measure it in 14 categories, and then we help you dial it down by actually trying to solve your problem for you. And when it all seems too much, we have live money coaches, as we call them, who are actually nonprofit credit, debt, housing, budget, bankruptcy counselors who are there to answer your questions.
So is this an economic wellness program or an emotional wellness program?
Well, we hope that you're going to feel a lot better emotionally as well as psychologically. But what it is it helps you with the nuts and bolts and the math and the tools that help manage personal finances. We made it simple and easy to use. There's a point-based reward system. You get points for every single thing you do inside the product. We think it's going to help revolutionize and dial down financial stress across the country.
This is something that you're targeting to employers,
correct?
Right, to provide for their employees. So,
correct.
How small of a company?
Well, we have a company with 10 people who just signed on last week, and we have a company with several thousand that I'll be speaking to this afternoon, and then a company with several hundred thousand that's already interested, and we're down the path with them as well. So we've had nothing but universal recognition that financial stress is a huge issue, and they think this is a great solution.
It's called Best Money Moves. How do people find out more information about it?
BestMoneyMoves.com. Just go there. There's a contact me button, or Elise at ThinkLink.com, or Elise at BestMoneyMoves.com, or heck, you can tweet out at Glink.
And is there a trial, free trial available or things like that?
So there is. We have a free trial available if you're interested, whether you're a consumer, an employee, employer.
So can I cheat and just get all the stuff from the free trial? And
well, you only get some of it, because one of the things that we do is we offer employers a real-time dashboard, so they get a global view of financial stress in their company and what's causing it and ideas on how to tone that down.
Okay, tell me that again. And let's say I've got 25 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to be able to see the specifics of their situation, but
nope.
I can see that 13 are worried about this and 10 are worried about that. Oh, I like that.
That's correct. And you can not only see that, but what number stress on a scale of 1 to 10 that they give that particular area of financial stress.
So then that not only allows you, I feel like we're doing an infomercial together now.
It is.
Right. But so that not only allows you as a, so you're not only just helping the employees feel better and understand. What you're also doing is giving the employers a picture of his or her workforce and an idea then of what they might need to do to help those employees.
Absolutely. One of the problems with a lot of HR and employee so-called financial wellness programs is you might get, as an employer, you might get feedback once a year.
Right.
Once a year, you get a printed
report. If you do, yeah.
If you do, what we do is in real time, employers can check in and see where their employees' financial stress is and measure other kinds of measures of financial wellness and usage of the program, real time.
I like it. Okay, it's called bestmoneymoves.com. People
right.
should check it out. And if you are an employee and like it, look at it yourself and maybe bring it to your employer.
Absolutely. And just email me. If you want to test it out as an employee, we have a free trial. It'll start on Monday. Send me an email. I will put you in the system.
So how's your financial stress?
Very low, although I'm a little...
I want to talk to you about, though. I mean, this is a big deal, right?
It is.
You are an entrepreneur. You've done all kinds of things. Yeah. Is this the biggest?
I would say this is the single biggest investment I've ever made in any of my companies. This is my fourth company, and I'm using all the fun, cool things that I share with you every week or in our Monday Morning Marketing podcast. But yeah, this is a big investment, but I'm making it because I know that this is a problem that has to be solved, and I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, well, I guess I didn't really mean to ask about your financial stress, but your emotional...
Okay, we're broke.
Right,
No, we're not.
The emotional and all of it, I mean, it's got to be a big deal. You're kind of creating software that could help you right now.
Well, I think I'm beyond help. No, I'm kidding. But what I feel very strongly is, you know, when you're in a position, and I'm very fortunate, you know, it's a big investment, but I'm not, my house isn't at risk. My kids are going to college. Everything's paid for. But the risk is that I'm taking away time from my other companies.
Right.
And I'm really putting all in on this because this is such an important issue facing us right now.
It's exciting, isn't it?
I love it.
Elise Kling, check it out. Bestmoneymoves.com. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. Glad you're back.
Thanks for filling in for me, too, when you did. I appreciate that.
Oh, best time ever.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Orion and Kim, Jill Egan as well. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. All right, I've been talking about this the entire hour, the idea that you can now take a picture with your phone and print it from your phone right away. I thought the whole idea was to get away from printing pictures that way, but I don't know if it's nostalgia, what it is. There seems to be a movement back toward that. Clement Perrault is the CEO of a company called Print. They started, I think, in France and are headquartered now in San Francisco. Clement, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
You're breaking up a little bit there. Can you hear me okay, Clement?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay,
can
good.
Can you hear me?
A little bit. You started in Paris, right, and are headquartered now in San Francisco. Is that the story?
Yes, we did. We started 2 years and a half ago back in Paris, and we moved first from Paris to China, and then from China to San Francisco. I've been in San Francisco for a year and a half now.
It's interesting to me then that you would have gone to China, where a lot of companies go, and then come to the U.S. What brought you back to the U.S.?
So we were in China actually for an acceleration program based in Shenzhen.
Okay.
So Shenzhen is what they call the Silicon Valley for hardware startups, and that's where we learned about manufacturing and developing a strong product. And after that, we felt like the next step was really marketing and see, you know, how to build a product that people would really love. So being in San Francisco and preparing a Kickstarter campaign was for us the next step.
I got that. Right. So there are a lot of competitions where if you win, you're set up for a while in China. Okay, that makes sense. What makes less sense to me, I'm sorry to say, is this resurgence of instant cameras. I mean, I've been saying throughout that my daughter bought one last year. I didn't quite understand it. Why is it that we want to print these pictures instantly now?
Yeah, that's really strange, but we feel like there is a need for that kind of solution because we're living more and more in a digital world, but we're still human. We need something that we can feel, that we can touch. So having back physical photos in our life is something that we believe is important for people. And what is really strange is that at the beginning, we felt like our market would be more people that would be maybe older and nostalgic of printing photos, but actually it's really the opposite. It's young people that are craving for that kind of interaction.
That's an odd thing. And so you came up with this technology that allows you to print from your phone. How does it work?
So it's really simple. All you have to do is plug your phone, select a photo from the phone, and then it prints instantly. The technology inside it, it's called a thermal printing in color. So the ink is already inside the paper, and all we have to do is heat it so that it turns into something with colors. Yet there is no ink inside the case. It's just that specific paper that you need to put to print more.
So I was joking earlier that the camera case was light, but it had a 20-gallon tank of ink. That's not the case.
That's not the case.
It's just a matter of heating up the paper, which means that you're never going to run out of ink. As long as you've got the paper, you can take as many pictures as you want.
That's correct. Yes. All you have to have is paper and battery in the case because it's heated. So yeah.
And it will work with iPhones as well as with Samsung or anything else.
Yeah, exactly. So we developed the case. We wanted something that was really integrated with the smartphones. So we developed something that was phone-specific, but we also wanted our users to be able to keep using the case if they change their phone. So there is a part of the case that is actually an adapter that depends on your phone, and you can change that adapter piece if you change your phone later.
We're looking at about $150.
That's correct.
How's
and then all you have to purchase is the paper, which is $20 for a pack of 40 sheets.
Now, okay, $20, 40 sheets, so that's 50 cents a picture. And the pictures come out, what are they, 2x2, or what size is the picture?
They're actually 2x3 inches.
2x3, okay.
Yeah, and it's actually a sticky back paper, so you can peel it off and put it anywhere you want, on your fridge, on your notebooks, anything.
Oh, I like that. I didn't realize that benefit. So it's almost like a post-it note, or can be if you want it to be.
Yes, that's correct.
How's business?
It's working really well. Something that I didn't mention, but one thing that we've added on top of that is the fact that there is a digital layer inside every photo. We worked with augmented reality, which is something really new, to make the photos come back to life. So the way it works is that you can add a video inside each photo, and by just hovering your phone over the photo, the photo will come back to life. It's a little bit like Harry Potter photos. And that's something that makes our solution really unique, and people love it. We started a year and a half with a Kickstarter campaign. We raised almost $1.6 million on Kickstarter. And then we shipped the product last year in December. And since then, retail has been really growing fast for us. You know, we are available on Amazon, in every Urban Outfitters store, and also in Best Buy.
Excellent. So give it a search. Give it a search. It is Print, and it's spelled with a Y, P-R-Y-N-T. Clement Perrault is the CEO. Clement, thanks very much for talking with us today. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks a lot. That was great.
You bet. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WG.